Tracy Maxfield, she is calling in from British Columbia. She is our Canadian caregiver consultant. Wait a minute, right. John said I had to change the title. It's our classy Canadian caregiver consultant.
There you go.
Thank you, John.
and as you do this every month, you call in and just give us great tips. And I've got a quick question for you, then we'll let you take it wherever you need to go. Mm-hmm. When you have a family member who is acting funky, like John just played, you know, that song.
We're a little funky anyway.
Sometimes people are quick to say, oh, I'm having a senior moment, or I'm having dementia, or maybe I've got pre-Alzheimer's or whatever. And they kind of put that moniker on themselves or a loved one that they have. They're thinking, you know, grandma's acting whatever. We need to get her checked out or something to that. But it's not always dementia.
No.
Dementia comes with its own set of specific issues. Now, for those of you who don't know Tracy, if the first time you're hearing, she is a dementia care expert. She's been doing this for over 35 years as a nurse. She understands this world, and she brings a lot of just practical hands-on of what we're talking about. So when you're dealing with somebody with dementia, walk us through some of the specific warning signs, red flags, things. It's not just forgetting where you put your keys. I mean, I forget that every day. You know, I mean, my wife fusses at me all the time. Where did you put your wallet? You know, kind of thing. So
there is a hook in my house, and that's where the keys go.
There's a hook on this stage.
There's a hook on this stage. Ah, my mother hung me on a hook once.
But anyway, so yeah, it's not just forgetting a key. John, of course, is much more disciplined than I am.
No, that's the only thing I have discipline about.
Okay. Yeah. But it's not just forgetting your keys. It's there's more to it. So tell us what that's about, Tracy.
So, I mean, in the world, there's right now over 100 different types of dementia. But I think the one that we are the most familiar with because of the huge numbers of people that are living with it is Alzheimer's disease. And I think, yes, people will have, quote unquote, a senior moment. They'll forget things. I do it to myself. That's normal. Stress, anxiety, illness, lack of sleep, all those little things can contribute to having momentary forgetfulness and memory lapse. Does not mean that you're developing some form of dementia. Dementia is actually an issue where whatever you are experiencing is significant enough that it is impacting your ability carry out your activities that day. So, for example, the first thing that most people notice is their loved one may be a little repetitive in some things. There may be a little bit of short-term memory loss. What they notice mostly is difficulties with banking and financing, the higher level of reasoning, the executive function. That's what people notice first, little errors maybe with banking or managing money. And then things kind of progress depending on the type of dementia they have. But it's going to be problems with thinking and their ability to reason and problem solve. And then their memory. Is it something that you notice and it doesn't happen again for a couple of weeks? Really wouldn't worry about it too much. But if you're noticing consistently problems with reasoning and with problem solving on a daily basis, then that's something that you really need to follow up with the doctor, because chances are you are showing signs of some cognitive impairment.
Well, now, you come back over and over to short-term memory loss. Long-term memory loss, then, is usually not an issue?
So usually what we find with anyone that is experiencing any of the types of dementia, the long-term memories, they're entrenched deeper in the brain, and they're not in the part, the hippocampus area, where the short-term memory, the problem-solving, the thinking, that's that functional area. And so memories that they had when they were a child, when they got married, went to school, had grandchildren, they retain their deep, deep, deep down, and they can pull and draw on them as the rest of the brain starts to deteriorate, with the progression of the disease. And so that's why it is not uncommon that you will see people who are now in the moderate to advanced stages of a dementia who will actually think that they're in a certain country, a certain situation when they were in their 20s. They may think they're going to work, they're going to school, they're going home to see mother, because that memory is very, very real to them because they can actually live it and experience it because it is entrenched deep in their brain. The short-term memory is what happened yesterday, what did you have for breakfast? Do you remember Joe coming to see you last week? They can't retain that. So long-term
now, and that's,
memory.
Let me jump in real quick here, Tracy. So what happens is the moment they start exhibiting these kinds of signs, the short-term memory is permanently affected. So anything they learn today doesn't have a chance to be archived and permanently layered in there.
That's right.
Okay.
As the disease progresses, the short-term memory becomes actually almost null and void. As in the mild stages, you're going to notice that they may be able to retain little snippets, but as the disease progresses, the short-term memory actually dissipates to where it's the same repetitive questions or the endless phone calls or forgetting that you've just had dinner and you go back and have dinner. And because they can't problem solve. They can't reason. And with the memory, they can't retain it. So the classic is the daughter who comes to visit and stays with her mom for 5 hours, leaves, comes back the next day, and the mom is like, you never came yesterday. I never saw you. You haven't visited me for months. And no amount of triggers, coaxing, cajoling can stir that memory because it isn't there. It does not exist anymore. It's not imprinted on the brain.
All right. So in the little bit of time we got left, just a couple minutes, if you are concerned about this with a loved one and you urge them to see their physician or you go with them to the physician, first off, which physician do you go to and what do you expect when you get there?
So if you are noticing some changes in your loved one that are significant enough that it bothers you, then the first thing I would recommend is actually before you go and see your family doctor and someone that is familiar with you, that knows you and your loved one, that is the person that you should go to first because they know the medical history, the medications that the person's on. What you want to do is make yourself a note. What sort of things have you noticed happening with, say, your husband? How long have you noticed these things occurring? Has anything else happened within, you know, the home or the family or the work situation? Because that's information the doctor wants to know, because so many things can masquerade as signs and symptoms of a dementia. Then when you go and see your doctor, he is going to review your concerns with you and do a full assessment. It's going to be a cognitive assessment because that will tell the physician what areas of the brain and what levels of function are starting to be affected. And then in a cognitive test, it tests recall, ability to spell, ability to draw a specific diagram, how to draw a clock, recall. It measures different areas of the brain, so it kind of gives you an idea of where that impairment is starting. They'll also do a physical assessment, and they should also be doing some routine blood work because, for example, anemia, vitamin B12, thyroid problems, all of those, if they're out of whack, then that can actually masquerade as forgetfulness, difficulties thinking.
What about things such as like urinary tract infections, things like that? I've heard of that kind of stuff. Is that true?
Absolutely. Any kind of infection, you also want to think about the different medications the person's on. All of a sudden, has he started taking an antihistamine that he's never taken before? Antihistamine, Benadryl, is extremely bad for making you a little bit sedated, but it can also masquerade symptoms of dementia. And so you want to be thinking about the medications the person's on. Or have they been taking painkillers, over-the-counter medications even, and are they actually doubling their dose? Or are they forgetting to take their prescription medications and then missing those medications, let's say, because it's a thyroid pill, that is, or something maybe if they have kidney disease or heart disease, that can also lead to memory problems, which you automatically think, uh-oh, I've got dementia.
Well, listen, Tracy, we're up against a hard break here, and I've got to run. This is amazing stuff, and I'm going to put it out on the podcast later on. I hope for thecaregiver.com. It'll be out there, and we'll put Tracy's contact information. Thank you, Tracy. I'm sorry I have to cut it off, but we got to go to a quick break.
No, not at all.
Listen, we always love having you here. Tracy Maxfield from British Columbia, Dementia Care Specialist. This is the nation's number one radio show for the family caregiver, and we are so grateful that you're here. We'll be right back.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I have. I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-25-SHARE.